Were you whistling and doing that during the worship? I want everyone to see you do that. Yeah, stand up and just do it that way. You know, my father used to do it this way, and I always wanted to learn how to do that. So I was in the back, like five rooms back, and I hear someone whistling out there. I said, "Who is whistling out there?" That's pretty good. You've been doing that since you were a kid? You've been doing that since you were a kid? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How's everybody doing? Amen. We want to say a greeting to the people online, especially in the military. We just got on our website where you can watch live, you can chat at the same time. And so it's a pretty cool screen where they watch exactly what's happening right now, live in high definition. You can download a little clip and the Bible comes down for the verses. You can give money. You can write notes and have the notes emailed to you. So you have friends and family anywhere in the world, they can watch all live and do all that. But they also chat, and there's some people in the military in Afghanistan who right now aren't here seeing the video, but they're chatting, and they told us, asked us to pray for them. It just happened just now. They're having a lot of violence outside their base, and so we just want to say a quick prayer. This is so good about a live stream. We can get real-time prayer requests. So let's just real quick pray for the military in Afghanistan and all over the world that are protecting us. Amen? Lord, we just thank you for technology, and we pray right now that you would keep our troops safe all over the world. Lord, nudge them on the shoulder on the right and the left when they got a duck or when they got to look and see something going on, and keep them safe. Give them wisdom in their decision-making. We pray for this particular prayer request that you would just bring peace to that town, bring peace to that area wherever they are, and bring them home safe. Lord, end the wars around the world. We know there's going to be rumors of wars, and realistically, they're going to be going raging until you come, and then there'll be a war against you. But we pray you keep our soldiers safe. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you didn't notice, we have the food drive going on right outside Vons, and we want to encourage you to go out and get something from Vons and put it in the bins. We went to the food bank last year and asked them when they needed food the most. You know, during the end of the year, everybody buys food for the food bank. But during the summer, their food collection goes down and their need goes up. There's 230,000 kids in San Diego who won't get the free meals from school starting in June, July, August. And so they have a great need. Their goal is 50,000 pounds a month. Last year, we collected alone 21,000 pounds. And so we want to keep collecting food. So we're doing that this whole month of May. If you can go out there and just go to Vons, pick something up. I was just out there right now between the services, and a couple walked up with two bags, and we started talking, and asked me to pray for them, and they're homeless, yet they're carrying food to the food drive. They're homeless, living in their car. And so if they can do it, they asked me to pray for them. They need a job because they're homeless, and then it dawned on me, you're coming here with food. And they said, yeah, we're just, helping out. So let me just go out and encourage you to go out there, spend a few dollars in Vons, drop it off, because a lot of people in San Diego should not be going hungry. Amen. Y'all got food in your pantry that's there from last year. Girl Scout cookies from 2 years ago. Okay, so if you don't give them to the food drive, give them to me. I'll eat them, but someone's got to eat them, okay? But I don't need your cookies. Go, we got food. We take for granted that we have food. We throw stuff out. You know, it's all deep frozen in the back of our freezer. Let's go out there and help some people who are hungry. Go to JesusDilemma.com. Get involved in the conversation we're having about Jesus Dilemma. And we'll continue that series today. And finally, just got back from St. Lucia Friday night. I was there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week. Our team is coming back today. The island / country of St. Lucia is doing a six-month Do Something campaign where they're serving the government, the businesses, the churches, all working together. And so we went down midway through that 6 months, which is right now. And our team is down there serving. But they were, as of Friday, they had led 2,000 people to the Lord. It was like 500 people a day. Amen. So God is doing amazing things. So y'all doing good today? If you are not doing good, we are glad you're here. This is the place to be if you're not doing good. If you are on the verge of killing yourself, this is the place to be. God has a better plan for your life than the devil's telling you. And so we don't want you to kill yourself. Give Jesus a chance in your life. If your marriage is falling apart, God wants you to work it out. And sometimes it seems impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. I had a couple come to me, and they were together, but the drama they had been through was, I don't know how God did it. A lot of infidelity, heterosexual infidelity, homosexual infidelity. It was just wild in their relationship, and God brought them back together. I say that to say that God can do anything, so give him a chance. So let me pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for being a God of miracles. We pray for jobs for people. We pray for freedom from addiction for people. We pray for miracles that people would just release to you their burden. Thank you for being the consistent, faithful, supernatural God you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible say, word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Before I start, how many of you have been discouraged in the last month? Say amen. Amen. Man. I get discouraged and have been very discouraged. I get discouraged all the time. When I say all the time, not every day, but on a regular basis. And whenever I share, usually when I share my discouragement with my wife, as the words are coming out of my mouth, I realize how dumb it is. The devil will have you be discouraged over nothing. Nothing. Make you think something is a big deal and it is. And so I want to encourage you, if you're discouraged today, God knows you're not alone. As you can see, all people say amen. I'm sorry, all the people who said amen the first time, but say amen again, you can say amen, that we're all there with you. So when we were in St. Lucia, we had the team together. It was like 115 people. Every night they had a meeting. And I went Thursday night, the day before I came home. And I asked people in the room to share what their life used to be. And one woman stood up and said, I was a prostitute. One woman stood up, or two women stood up at different times, said I was brutally raped. Another guy said I was in prison. Another woman said I was in prison. I was on crystal meth. I was on crack. I mean, gangs, et cetera, et cetera. I think there were seven people or so that had been arrested. Half of them were women. It was just amazing, all the junk and the nastiness that God pulled people out of to use them. And there wasn't one person in that room who didn't have something. Everybody didn't share because some people didn't want to share. I say that to say you are never alone. Never. It's never just you. So, Lord, we thank you again, and I pray that you would set people free today. Deliver them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at this vase. That's how you say vase in bougie, okay? And some of you would say that the vase is half full, and some of you would say that the vase is half empty. Some people look at everything half full, and some people look at everything as half empty. People who are critics, and there's two kinds of critics. There's positive critics who just tell you and give you good advice, and then there's negative critics who just want to tear people down. Negative critics always see things half empty. As we continue the series called Jesus' Dilemma, we're going to talk about Jesus' critics, the people who saw everything he said and did as half empty. Let's look at the negative because we want to tear him down. The problem Jesus' critics had is that he was all truth. Everything he said and did was legit, and so they had to kind of make stuff up and twist stuff to try to get him. Now, so we're going to look at critics. Now, understand this. Every single one of us in here is critics. And so we're going to learn not only how Jesus dealt with his critics, but how we can deal with our critics. And we're also going to learn that Jesus' critics did more to validate and explain who he really was than to tear him down. Okay, so let's look at the top of your notes. So we have three very simple observations about critics I just want to highlight at the very top of your notes. Number one is that a critical mouth comes from the overflow of a critical heart. The Bible says the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. If you're saying nice things, that means you got a lot of nice things in your heart, unless you're a good manipulator. If you're saying nice things sincerely. If you're saying a lot of critical things, this probably means you got a lot of junk in your heart. The Bible says, where do murders come from? The heart. Where do adulteries come from? The heart. Where does lying and cheating and stealing? The heart. People who are critical have some junk in their heart. I would imagine, and I'm going to guess, but I'm going to judge all of you, that all of us in here have been critical of somebody. Can I get amen? Amen. You had some issue. And there's people in your life who are critical of you. They have an issue. It's in their heart. Number two, at the very top, it says the criticized is not defined by the critic. In other words, your critics, no matter what they say, do not define who you are. They may describe who you are from their perspective, but that does not define who you are. It does not determine who you are. Jesus Christ's critics, if anything, describe themselves. They reveal what's in their own heart. Jesus Christ is defined by his response to the critics. Jesus Christ is defined by his response to the critics. So your critics don't define you. And lastly, the third one says that if Jesus was criticized, so will you be criticized. Every single one of us has the ultimate accuser, which is Satan. Everyone say Satan. All day and night, Satan is accusing you before God. Right now, he's saying, yeah, God, look at that girl over there and that guy over there. They were in TJ just a few hours ago. Couldn't even walk straight. Stumbled across the border this morning. Didn't even sleep yet. Stumbled in the church. Praying, they have a last thing. What's all that? Accusing you. And you know, the devil will stand before God and accuse you day and night. You know what you need to say? He says, you're a fornicator, you're a liar, you're a cheater, you're arrogant, you're this. And you don't need to say that, you know what you need to say to the devil. You are right. I'm all that. We're guilty. You are not defined by your critics. You're defined by how you respond. I'm guilty. That's my response. I'm a sinner. I had a lady come to me one day, and she just wanted to vomit all her junk to me. You're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. Boom, 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 boom. And I just sat there and listened, and I said, is that all you know? There's a whole lot more than that. I'm guilty. The critic, in that case, the critic's not defining you. He's just describing the truth. We're sinners before Christ. The good thing is that Jesus Christ died for us. And the good thing is that he gives us hope to resist our critics. So what we're going to learn is not only what did Jesus' critics reveal about Jesus that's true, what does Jesus teach us about how to respond to our critics? And I'm going to give you a hint. If you live in truth, you don't have to do too much. Just stay consistent. When we see Jesus, they criticize Jesus. He didn't change anything. He just went about his business because he was the one who was right. He was the one who was right. So number one in your notes, number one, it says, attempts to discredit Jesus' miracles acknowledges that he actually did perform them. Attempts to discredit his miracles acknowledges that he actually did perform them. Again, the question is Jesus really God? Is he really the only one? Did he really perform miracles? Did he really claim to be God? Well, one of the ways we can find out who he really is by listening to what his critics are really saying. Look what it says in chapter 12, verse 22. It says, one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now, if someone is blind and mute, can't see, can't talk, he's demon-possessed, and someone heals him, I would think that would be good news. Can I get an amen? Amen? That's great news. And some said, oh, that's great. This must be the son of David. By the way, the son of David is another title for the Messiah because David was promised to have a descendant that would sit on the throne forever. They said, this must be him. Jesus standing there, he ain't saying nothing. And then look what the critics, his critic says, verse 24, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Now, his critics didn't say he didn't cast the demon out. He did that. So we know that. What they said was he did it by the power of the devil. And Jesus goes on to say, why would the devil cast out another demon? That doesn't make any sense. The thing that they're acknowledging is that Jesus actually did miracles. Well, he did walk on water, but there was glass under the water. He did raise the dead, but they weren't really dead. But we can't deny he did it. Your critics will look at, if you walk with God in truth, and God does miracles in your life in truth, your critics will try to spin it and pervert it. I was at the city council last week. We were talking about volunteerism at the city council meeting, and I was walking out, and a guy said to me, oh, you're from The Rock? He goes, I said, yes. He says, oh, you're the church with all that traffic problems. And I said, yeah, isn't it great that so many people want to come to church? You rarely hear the traffic issue with the Chargers. A lot of people go to the game. You just deal with it, right? Padres, just deal with it. And we had our church in another building. We had a community meeting, group meeting with some of the community members, and they were kind of anti before we got in. And so I figured, you know, I'll go in there and talk to them, and maybe I'll share my testimony and talk about what God did in my life, and they can see this is a God thing, blah, blah, blah. So I share my testimony, and I'm talking about how I was on drugs, and I was on cocaine, smoking weed, and I was this and that, and then God saved me, and I stopped it one day, and I'm just sitting there listening. And I was telling her, and then the lady raised her hand. I'm thinking, oh, she's going to give credit to God. She says, do you mean to say that drug addicts are going to come to this church? So I caught me off guard. I was like, I'm in my mind going, okay, what am I going to say to that? So I said, I hope a whole lot of them. And I hope. Gang members come, and criminals, and prostitutes, and business people just like you that are jacked up too. You can come all the time. Oh, you know, just all come. So you could either look at it as there's a bunch of cars, which, by the way, there's less cars here during the day, but that's another thing, during the week, but there's a bunch of cars, or you could say something's going on there. God's doing something, because a lot of people, and by the way, when you look and you go out, and just look around. You don't have to look around now because I don't want you to get distracted. But there's a whole bunch of different kind of people in here. You got black, white people. You got brown people. You got all these people. You got tall. What could possibly get all those people who have nothing in common together? Jesus. That's it. And so it depends on how you want to look at it. Depends on how you want to look at it. And when people look at your life, if you are truly walking in truth and in the power that God has given you, Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Yes. And if God's power is working in you, what can people say? I used to do cocaine. Ooh, how do we twist that? Any way you want. I used to do cocaine right down the street. Matter of fact, my whole crew, just about, they all, who we used to do cocaine with, they all go to church here now. The drug dealer I used to get cocaine goes to church here now. So how you want to twist it? Your life needs to be supernatural. God has given you the Holy Spirit to be, and through, from which he will give you power, where he will do through supernatural things in you and through you. Your answer to those critics is just live supernaturally. Jesus just kept performing miracles. He was in a synagogue and was on the Sabbath, and a guy walked up with a withered hand, and they said, we want to see if he's going to heal him, and if he heals him on the Sabbath, we're going to get him. They're not focused on the healing. It's just that he's going to break the Sabbath. So Jesus says, oh, that boy's a tripper, because he knew what they were thinking, and he called the guy over and said, you with the hand, come over here. Mr. Hand, come here. And he came with the hand, he said, bam, bada, and he was healed. And he said, now what you going to do about that? Oh, there, we got to get him. He just kept being consistent, healing people. And if you are walking in truth, you don't have to worry about a thing. Just keep doing it. Will people criticize you? Most definitely. Will they lie about you? We're going to get to next? Most definitely. But they will not determine your fate. Look at number two in your notes. The pursuit of false testimony proves that Jesus' word was true. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. Say amen if someone lied about you. It hurts, don't it? They say, that's not true. People want to say stuff about you that is not true. Welcome to the club. They did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. Look at verse 57. And those, Matthew 26:57, those who laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Verse 59. Now the chief priests, the elders, all, and the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. People tried to lie, but their lies were incredible. You can imagine having an uncredible lie? Give us a lie that's credible. It says, but at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. You know why they had to find false testimony? It's because the true testimony was too powerful. If you live in truth and you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. The best lies are the lies with a whole lot of truth in them. Imagine I'm walking in a hotel with my arm around a woman who's not my wife, and someone sees me in a hotel walking around down through the hallway with an arm around my woman who's not my wife, which, by the way, has not happened. I'm just telling you hypothetical. And yet this young lady is my sister. My sister lives here in San Diego. She goes to church. She works here. And someone says, I saw you in the hotel with a woman that wasn't your wife. And I said, you're exactly right. But it was my sister. Ew. Ew. If people have to make stuff up about you, that means you got a pretty good story. Because if your story is really jacked up and you're really creeping, do y'all know what creeping means? You going in places you shouldn't go with people you shouldn't go, doing stuff you shouldn't do at times you shouldn't be there. And if you're really creeping, all they got to do is find the creep. Matter of fact, there's a little snake called a thirst snake. Everyone say thirst snake. A thirst snake eats slugs. And the way it finds the slug is by following the slime trail of the slug. Ew. The Bible says your sin will find you out. You got a slime trail? It's going to come get you. The snake gonna come get you. Erase the slime trail. Live in truth. All Jesus had to do was keep telling the truth. He couldn't do anything different because he was truth. He didn't have to change the story. So they had to figure out, you know, his truth is too good. He's living with integrity. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna make something up about him. When you get to the point where people are making stuff up about you, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because if you're really jacked up, they don't need to make anything up. Brother, I saw you drunk last night. Yeah, I was. I wasn't drunk last night. Brother, I saw you with all the, you know, over there stealing, robbing, and stealing, and cheating, and cursing. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're guilty. I was in Donovan State Prison. I was actually at Donovan State Prison visiting, and I was making a video, and I was in this building right outside the prison, changing my clothes for the video, and it was a guy working at the prison who we were talking. I asked him what he did. He started telling me what he did, but in the midst of him telling me what he did, he said like 92,000 curse words. I don't mind, you know, people curse all the time. It's not like it's going to kill me, so I'm listening to curse words, blah, 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 blah. So I said, okay, good, and he said to me, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor of a church called The Rock, and I'm doing this video. And without skipping a beat, he said, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm an usher at my church. So I just kind of looked up, looked around, like, is it me? And then I said to him without skipping a beat, you're a Christian? You ush? Usher, ush, okay, whatever. So I did the video, did the thing, and then came back later. I said, hey, brother, I just want as a brother to brother, Christian to Christian, your mouth. Dude. If you're going to curse, don't say you're a Christian. Do one or the other, but don't do both. He's like, yeah, man, I know. He says, I'm doing a lot better, though. So you went from cursing every word to every other word. Is that what it is? if you're a Christian, and you claim to be a Christian, don't lie. Don't lie. It's really a basic issue. Tell the truth. You got a job, go early, leave late, work hard. It's real simple. Don't tear people down. Stop cursing. I mean, control, be a person of integrity. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Stop scamming people. We all know. You know, when I hear people come to me complaining about Christians, I go, yeah, I know. I know. Breaks God's heart. Jesus didn't have that problem because he was truth 100% of the time. So they said, we can't find anything on him. We can't find anything on him. Right? Last week I talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of y'all were here last week? Okay, you remember me talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the reason they had to change the law to make their religion illegal and make them bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol is because they were men of integrity. They couldn't find anything on them. So they had to make something up. You want to be a person where they had to make something up. Not where they can just get you all day long. Number three. Attempts to stone Jesus for blasphemy proves he claimed to be God. The reason they wanted to, they continually tried to stone him and kill him for claiming to be God is because he claimed to be God. No one is out there accusing me of trying to be a singer. Miles can't sing. No, that's an established fact. There's no mystery there. I ain't out there trying to get on American Idol. I ain't out there trying to cut a record, you know, doing my rap thing or my Luther, whatever, even though I wish I could sing like Luther, but that, you know, that ain't happening. Why? Because I ain't trying to do that because I know I can't. Jesus when he's out there claiming something that's not true. Look what it says in the very next verse. It says in verse 62, the high priest arose and said to Jesus, Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? Jesus kept silent. The high priest answered and said, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now, let's think about what he's asking him. I'm put you under oath by the living God. Are you really God? Is that a straightforward question? Yes or no? Yes or no? Very good. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, since you put it that way, I don't want to lie. So, yeah, well, yeah, he didn't give a vague answer. He said, it is as you said. Boom. Then he said, nevertheless, I say to you hereafter, you will see the Son of Man. Everyone say Son of Man. You will see him sitting on the right hand of power, the right hand of God, and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, understand this. Son of Man was a title that Jesus gave himself more than any other title. But in the book of Daniel, Old Testament, Daniel saw a vision, and he saw a vision of the Son of Man coming on the clouds to judge the earth. Jesus says, not only am I the Christ, not only am I the Son of God, I'm the dude, the Son of Man, coming on clouds and getting y'all. What y'all gonna do with that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. They knew exactly what he was saying. Let me say it again. They knew exactly what he was saying. Look what it says in verse 65. The high priest tore his clothes, saying he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of this witness? What further need do we have of witnesses? We heard him say it himself. Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? And they answered and said, he is deserving of death. Why? Because he claimed to be God. Right there. So his critics will tell you the reason we killed him is because he claimed to be God. No mystery. And look what it says next. Verse 65. They spat in his face. They beat him. Others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? Jesus claimed to be God over and over. I'm going to do a whole message on just how many times and ways he claimed to be God. He claimed to be God by forgiving sin. He forgave someone's sin. And they said in their minds, who can forgive sin except God? Jesus said, that's right. That's why I'm doing it. He received worship. Who can receive worship but God? That's right. That's why I'm receiving worship. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush. He said, that's right. I was the guy in the bush 2,000 years ago. He kept saying it. Like, how are you saying all this stuff? Because I'm God. And so his critics will tell you he did miracles, no doubt. He spoke the truth, no doubt. He claimed to be God, no doubt. His critics will tell you that. Next week, we're going to talk about what the devil says about him, which to me is the most credible witness is the devil. The most credible. Well, I'll tell you about why next week. Number four in your notes. Plans to sabotage Jesus' resurrection proves they feared an empty tomb. Their plan to sabotage, if I said, Miles McPherson said, when I die, I'm going to rise in 3 days, I doubt anybody would be at my grave trying to prevent me from getting up. I ain't getting up. Matter of fact, they'd probably say he went crazy in his old age. Because I will be about 120 years old. That ain't going to happen. Jesus says, I'm rising in 3 days. Chapter 27, Matthew, verse 62. It says, verse 62, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests, the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how the deceiver, everyone say deceiver. That's a name for the devil. They're calling Jesus the deceiver. How he said, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said, you have your guard, go your way and make it secure. They called him a deceiver and said that if the disciples steal the body, they'll trick everybody to think he rose from the dead. Just like he tricked everybody on everything else. In other words, he really didn't walk on water. He really didn't heal the blind man. He could see the whole time. It was just a trick. He really didn't heal the paralytic. It was a trick. He was never paralyzed. He just acted like it. And he even woke up and he stood up. He really didn't raise that 12-year-old girl from the dead. She was just sleeping. That's what they're trying to claim. He really didn't do all that stuff. And by the way, if he rises from the dead, that's going to be the worst trick of them all. This guy's like a Houdini. So can you put guards in front of the tomb and prevent the fishermen from coming and stealing the body? So Pilate said, okay. So they put the big rock in front of the tomb. They sealed it, connecting the rock to the tomb. They put Navy SEALs, special force type people in front of the tomb. Not little rent-a-cops. So the fishermen couldn't come knock them out. And the angel and Jesus were chuckling, going, those dudes are going to stop us. Angel came down. Soldier said, we don't get paid enough to fight that dude. They fell over dead. Rock, move. Jesus walked out the tomb like this. I mean, he really didn't, but you know what I'm saying. If there is no empty tomb, then everything else Jesus said is empty. Because he couldn't back up his word, because his word was, I'm going to rise from the dead. If he lied in one thing, then everything else is nullified. So when he said, I'm going to rise from the dead, that was a big thing, a big order to fill. He filled it, which means everything else he said is true. Which means if you believe in my word, I'll give you eternal life. If you give your life to me, I'll forgive you of all your sins. Every single one of us stand before God guilty of our critics' accusations as sinners. We're guilty. When the devil calls you prideful, yep. When the devil calls you arrogant, yep. When the devil calls you a liar, idiot, a fornicator, an adulterer, whatever, whatever, we're guilty. Amen? That wasn't convincing. No. Amen? Now, I don't mean you have to admit to all of that, even though if you thought it, you're guilty. How many of y'all were ever mad at somebody? You know what Jesus says? You're a murderer. I'll just end with that one. Jesus says, you know what? Because you are guilty, I want to forgive you and make you innocent. The accuser, this is Jesus talking, could not find me guilty because I was innocent. The innocent died for the guilty. And he rose, and when he died, he rose from the dead. And he's saying, now I'm going to offer you the opportunity to be innocent before God. If you give your life to me, when the Father sees you, he will see me, Jesus. Your sins will be wiped away. And in the context of our relationship, I will purify your mouth. Guess what? You can actually stop cursing. I haven't cursed in 27 years. I almost did the other day because something scared me, but it stopped right here. I'm only kidding, but you know how to, you know what I'm saying? God can change your thought life, your words, your actions. He can help you deal with your anger. He can help you deal with your addiction. Some of you may be suicidal today. He can give you something to live for. And then give you the strength to go help somebody else who's suicidal. But you have to give your life to him. And you have to trust him. And so when the accuser's chirping in your ear, you can say, no, Jesus Christ is my Savior. I am a sinner, but I'm forgiven. And I'm walking with him in truth. So right now I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And just listen very carefully. Lord, you know every sin in this room, every person, every issue, every fear, every weakness, every lie and deception. And you love everybody in this room so much. My prayer is that they believe that, they trust that. My prayer is that they surrender to you, the one true God, the one faithful God. If you realize that you are guilty before God without Jesus in your life, and you realize that Jesus is not in your life, or you need more of him, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. If you're watching online, without Christ, you're guilty before God. But with Christ, you are forgiven, cleansed, loved, accepted. So in the privacy of your heart, if you're ready to go from being guilty to innocent, unforgiven to being forgiven, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know you love me. I know that you know who I am. Dear Lord, you have been so patient with me. You've been so gracious to me. Please forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my pride, being hard-headed. Jesus, I surrender my life to you once and for all. I don't know how I'm going to follow you, but by faith, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for loving me more than I deserve. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you pray that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. There are some of you in here who have been playing games with God, coming to church every now and then thinking that's all you need to do. Unfortunately, that'll never cut it. He wants relationship, 7/24, every day, all day. He wants commitment. And you're never going to be blessed and fulfilled the way you can be until you surrender to him. He created you for himself. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you pray that prayer and you're saying, Lord, I want everything you have for me, just stand to your feet and acknowledge his love in your life, his forgiveness in your life, and your faith in him. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. If you're watching online, right where you are, stand to your feet and acknowledge. You may be by yourself. It doesn't matter. God's there with you. Stand to your feet. We see you all over the room. We see you in the balcony. We see you all over the room. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Come on. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. Very good. We see you. We see you. We see you. We see you. Very good. Now I'm going to ask all of you who are standing.